From the studios of KPCW in Park City, this is Cool Science Radio.
Science and technology that's accessible and entertaining.
If we can understand it, you can understand it.
I'm Lynn Ware Peak.
And I'm John Wells.
Our next guests are Chris Jackson. He's the president and managing partner, and Scott Van Hartsveld, partner for G-Commerce. It's a digital marketing company serving the hospitality market here in Park City. Their company provides website development, display advertising, social media marketing, search engine optimization, and more for the independent hospitality market. Chris and Scott, welcome to Cool Science Radio.
Thank you, John.
Great to be here.
It's great to have you here. And maybe you can first start off by telling us what's the difference between what defines a chain and what is independent?
Well, a chain is you have a big brand behind it, such as a Marriott or a Hilton. So independent hotels are just that. They're independent of a brand. It can be a single owner. It can be an institution that owns it, but they have independence from any national chain.
Okay.
When you're working with a chain is going to come with a whole marketing suite that is attached with the chain fees. As an independent hotel, you don't have any of that infrastructure put in place, and so it's incumbent on you as an independent operator to go piecemeal that one by one or with multiple companies.
And there wouldn't be an independent set of organizations unless they could compete, so you really level the playing field?
That's exactly it. And the internet is the playing field that we get to level for our customers. We're able to create that representation online and get that awareness to consumers just as much as a Marriott or a Hilton would do, but we're doing it for the independent hotel.
Mm. So you're based in Park City, but no doubt your network spreads much wider because there are only a small number of hotels here that would be independent or boutique or whatever you want to call it. How far do you reach?
We actually reach internationally. A majority of our portfolio is in the United States, but we have properties in Europe, in South America, and have conquered some of those challenges, different markets, different regulations in terms of what you can do. But I would say a majority of our portfolio is in the United States.
And so no doubt, so I've got a small hotel in Paraguay, for example, and I'm looking for a digital marketer to help me with this service. So no doubt you have competitors, but what makes you stand out?
I would say the big thing that makes us stand out is, you know, our competitors out there do this for thousands of hotels, and they tend to take a kind of a one-size-fits-all approach. With us, we want to understand the very unique aspects of the hotel that set it apart from its competition. We call them long-term sustainable competitive advantages, and then we take those advantages and we amplify them online.
When I was in my business in technology, I was traveling all the time. I tended to load up with Marriott because they had a pretty good loyalty program, but also it was just so much easier. And now, of course, when I go online, I'm looking for a hotel. I'm just looking for, you know, a property that looks clean and, you know, all that sort of thing. How have things changed, and how have things changed on the customer side with the millennials and the Generation Z that we were talking about
Sure.
in the green room earlier? How are those buying habits different?
I think that there's a few things that you can look at there. With our clientele, with independent hotels, usually there's a story to be told. It's historic, or it has really unique amenities, or it has a connection to the community. And for millennials in particular, but really for any segment of traveler, you're going to find that pocket of people who want to have an authentic trip to Park City. And so they're not going to stay in a Marriott chain. They're going to stay in somebody who's really connected with the community and has some of those experiences. And so our job is to really identify what those things are, those long-term sustainable competitive advantages, and then through marketing channels like a Facebook or a Google, whatever it may be, identify people who are going to care about it. Because there are people who travel 100 days a year, and the Marriott points really matter to them. That's how they have their family vacations, is redeeming those points. And that's okay. Those aren't our customers for our clients. And so it's being able to differentiate and find those individual pockets of consumers.
Well, tell us more specifically what you do for your customers, because I know that you customize your approach depending upon the customer's business problems. But tell us some of the specific things that you do for them.
Well, maybe to pick up where Scott just left off there, on identifying those target audiences or consumers that want to stay at hotels that we represent. We use a programmatic media solution. We use DoubleClick. And through DoubleClick, we're able to access third-party audiences. These are consumers that have looked on airline sites and maybe bought an airline ticket into Salt Lake City or looked at rental cars or maybe have been on Expedia. And we're able to tell from what they've been looking at that they've shown intent to travel to a specific marketplace for specific dates. And with other third-party data attached to their kind of profile, we're able to identify that audience member is a perfect target because they're outdoor enthusiasts, they've just bought skis in the last 6 months, or they have the household income that supports that they can afford the $600 a night independent hotel here in Park City. And so that's the way that we're able to reach that very niche audience for our customers.
That kind of it's going to be a nice segue into our next conversation in the second half about artificial intelligence,
Absolutely.
Machine learning. It's a great tool. It's also a little bit scary that you know from my booking of whatever it is, flight, maybe car, rental. I'm renting a car that's going to cost me $150 a day instead of a little smart car that's going to cost me $35. So you know that you can set what type of hotel you can sell to me. What would my question be? You know, why should that not scare me?
Well, you know, I mean, for us, we have this audience in aggregate. So I can't see that you, Lynn, were out there looking at that very specific airline ticket on Delta into Salt Lake next Thursday. But I can see that there are 156 Lens essentially that have shown that intent to travel. So you're not standing out there alone. You're in aggregate within this audience.
We had a conversation a week or two ago that we talked about this question, and that was I recently went on a trip, so no doubt I had been searching for a lot of different things online.
Mm-hmm.
I went on the trip, and then the technology did not learn that that trip is done and over with, and they keep pumping out, oh, you might want to stay in this hotel, you might want to do this activity while you're in XYZ city. How does the technology figure out how to leave someone alone?
It's very difficult because it's so fractured, right? You were probably using Google or some form of search engine to do some of your primary research. Then you were looking at a lot of different sites to maybe price compare and to create your decision set of the things you might want to do and where you might want to stay. And then ultimately, all of that resulted in a transaction, but that transaction is void of the history of everything that you did in all of those disparate places. And so there's been some things that have been done by companies like Facebook and others that are trying to connect that, and that's where some of the scary data that you're talking about can get a little scary in terms of the responsible use of it and what those data privacy policies really mean. But ultimately, it's still very fractured out there. So we can see trends, but we can't necessarily track someone from inception of their research and planning phase to where they ultimately decided to stay and have had that trip.
So we call that remarketing. So a visitor came onto your website, they showed enough intent to buy, but they didn't buy and they left and they're shopping around. When we follow them around, that's display advertising, or you can do it via Facebook as well through advertisements on there. And so how we handle it for our customers is we don't, if the audience member that we're remarketing to is not responding to our ads, we'll put a limit on how many times they're served an ad. If they're not clicking on that ad, we'll stop spending on that ad, and we'll essentially end the cyber stalking at that point.
And that's after how many times?
10,000.
Usually it's, we try to be very responsible with it because we know that there are those who aren't, and our customers are worried about this. They're saying, we understand that remarketing is important, but we have a brand to maintain, and we want to make sure that we are not associated negatively in connotations. So maybe 3-5 times, and that's spaced over the course of multiple days, where we're trying to re-engage you in the buying cycle. And if you're saying no, that's okay.
Yeah.
Well, that does sound more responsible. About a month ago, I was looking for a new guitar amp, and I'm out. I'm researching, one guitar amp versus another. I go and I play through several, and I make a buying decision. It was about 3 weeks ago. And these amps are following me everywhere. So it wasn't 3-5 times. It was like every time
and that
I get on Google.
You can develop a negative connotation towards that brand as a result of the fact that that's a conscious decision that they're making to stalk you in such an aggressive manner.
Yeah. Would it be fair to say that the internet has made it more difficult for the big chains like Marriott, Hyatt, and Hilton, as the independents can now jump into Travelocity and some of these other sites and be able to represent their product?
Yeah, I would say the online travel agents like Travelocity and Expedia, along with the internet, has leveled that playing field that we were talking about earlier. I don't think that an independent hotel necessarily, their website doesn't have as much of an authoritative position on Google, for example,
right,
because Marriott is, thousands and thousands of pages. And so it becomes recognized as an authoritative site, as opposed to an individual hotel in Park City. That website has a little bit more difficult time trying to gain that authority to have the ranking. So at times, an independent hotel may have to spend a little bit more money through paid search marketing to be represented on Google, as opposed to organically represented on Google.
So G-Commerce, where does the name of your company come from?
We were absolutely. We were born as an experiment, as kind of a independent business unit inside of another former Park City business, Gemstone Hotels and Resorts, which was a hotel management company. And so Gemstone became, it was a little play on e-commerce. It was a bad name at the time. And we wanted to change it about 5 years later, but we had developed enough brand recognition that we moved with it.
Important to go with that initial letter. Yes. So if you're just joining us, our guests are Chris Jackson and Scott Van Hartsveld. Chris is the president and Scott is the managing partner at G-Commerce, a digital marketing company that serves the hospitality market, independent hotels. So oftentimes I will see, sometimes when I'm traveling, I'll see a hotel, a cute little boutique hotel, and I see their sign hanging outside, and I say, oh, that looks like a great place. I'm going to go look that up for next time. And I look up the name, and I can't actually get to their site because booking.com and hotels.com has got it, sequestered or just almost controls everything that you would do to be able to book that hotel. So I'm wondering how you interface with those bigger conglomerates of bookings.
Expedia is a four-letter word in the hotel industry. It is one of the major battles that the industry has been fighting as a whole for a long time. They take an inordinate commission on bookings that are made. One thing, John, to your earlier question that I would say on whether it levels the playing field, yes and no, because when Marriott goes to negotiate their contracts with these larger, with these OTAs, they're able to get a much lower commission rate because of the volume that they're able to bring.
Okay.
So an independent hotel, it kind of feeds a cycle where that independent property needs Booking.com, needs Expedia in order to provide reservations. And because of the rates that they're paying, those sites are then circling back around and advertising on their name. And and like you said, kind of bracketing them in a way that is very difficult to break through. So one of the things that we talk about with our clients all the time is one of our definitions of success is reducing your reliance on those sites so that they have less rooms and less budget to be able to provide those bracketing, because you're starting to create a groundswell for your own website through search engines and making it much easier for people to be able to identify.
Yeah, one of the great debates that we're having in our industry is on the paid search marketing side. Should you bid on your own brand name term if you're already, your website is already in that first organic position there? There's some people that believe, well, why would I pay for it when I'm already right there? We look at it as it's just as much of a defensive move as it is an offensive move. Because if you don't bid on your name, Expedia and Booking.com and Travelocity will be there. And not all consumers recognize the difference between sponsored listings and organic listings. So you kind of have to bid on, we're in the camp of you must bid on your own name. They're looking for you. Let them be your customer, not Expedia's customer.
Now, how did you guys meet?
So I started this little experiment as the independent business unit. I was wet under the ears, 22 years old, and I brought it into the marketplace. And my second client was the GM of the Four Suites Hotel, and that was Chris Jackson. And we were I was trying to sell him on GCommerce, and he was into everything that we were saying, and we were kindred spirits right out of the gate. So we worked together for a year and were able to really create a great success story at that resort. He had had a very successful hospitality career at that point and said, you know, this is my passion. And I said, me too, let's do this together.
Marketing's a lot more fun than operations at a hotel.
Yeah, yeah. And full disclosure, Lynn, I had a couple hours to kill. I only had time to play nine holes, so I shot out the Soldier Hollow, and I met these two guys. And so we played golf together, and, you know, I was fascinated learning about your company and all of that. Let's talk about performance metrics. When you look at the high-end luxury market, how are the independents doing against the chains?
They're faring well. In fact, they're faring so well that if you've noticed in the marketplace over the last 10 years, these Marriotts and Hiltons have been coming out with what they call soft brands. They're very much independent-like hotels. They'll allow them to have their own name on the sign, and maybe it might say, like, Autograph Collection by Marriott. But they allow the hotel to be somewhat independent, but yet you still have the power of the Marriott or Hilton brand behind you. So obviously they recognized that the independent hotels were catching them, and they felt like with the experiential economy that we're in today, that these brands had to go develop these independent-like hotels.
And back to what Lynn was talking about earlier, about her desire to find a nice boutique hotel. Mm-hmm. Are some of these boutique hotels actually Marriott properties, but they disguise it because they really want to look independent?
They're very much so. Choice Hotels has a soft brand, if you will, called the Ascend Collection. And they allow, so down in Salt Lake City, the Piri Hotel is a part of the Ascend Collection. But you would have no idea that they are a part of Choice Hotels from the street side, if you will.
I'm cracking up as you're talking about this because I recently stayed at a Moxie. Mm-hmm. And I thought, this is such a great concept. It really appeals to millennials. They've got all these crazy photos up all over the place and in the elevators that it's like they're marketing to a much younger crowd. And, oh, that's really great. How much fun it is to stay here. And I was telling my friend about it who knows about these things. I feel very naive now. And he's, oh yeah, that's a Marriott hotel. Or I don't, is it Marriott?
It's Marriott,
yeah.
Yes. Marriott.
And the same thing, another hotel I stayed in recently, Even. It's a wellness hotel, which is the strangest thing. But again, they belong to some other bigger conglomerate. Ah, fooled again.
They do.
So I'm curious about, is it being in Park City and attracting employees? How big is your workforce here, and how easy is it to get good talent here?
We've got about 40 wonderful team members. It is our number one challenge. The Utah unemployment rate, as everyone knows, is extremely low. Silicon Slopes, this is especially for technical talent. You've got Backcountry up here. You've got Adobe and others down in Salt Lake. And so we have to offer an environment where there's an essential promise that's made, which is that we're going to invest in our culture. We're going to invest in our training. We're going to have team members do real work very quickly so that it is an internship type work where we're going to train them as best we can, which we think is really, really well. And we're going to be able to catapult their career as a result of being with GCommerce. And we have a really, really strong track record of that. And we celebrate it. So, and I think to answer your question, we've got about 40 people.
About 40 people. Okay, so it used to be that if you were working in Park City and you're at entry level, boy, you'd love to live in Park City, but you just can't afford it. Now what I'm hearing is people are choosing to live in Salt Lake because it's become a pretty cool place to live. What is it like with your employees?
Well, I'd say more than half of our employees live in Salt Lake City. It was actually we've just recently moved in the last year and a half or so, moved our office. We were in the Prospector area, which takes an extra 15 minutes to get into Park City as opposed to out at Kimball Junction area. So on purpose, we moved out to Kimball Junction to save our employees about 15 more minutes of time and made us look more attractive to prospective employees.
And is that by choice that the half of your employees are living in Salt Lake?
Choice as in wallet choice, I think, okay. More than anything else, because it says it's gotten so expensive to live here in Park City, and we pay well, but it's a little expensive.
So the good news is somebody who's young and has the aptitude and has some experience can come to work for your company and learn a whole bunch of things, because there's a lot of moving pieces to this, and there's a lot of different technical details and types
Absolutely.
Of things you need to do. The maybe not so good is that they get to a point where they have all this experience and now they may be recruited by a larger company or something like that. Is that something that occurs?
It absolutely occurs. And we have a choice to make, right? We can't compete with Adobe in terms of high-end salaries. We're a boutique agency. And so our choice is to be upset about it or to celebrate it. And we almost use it as a recruiting tool to say, This is the opportunities that you get here. And by the way, we hope you're going to have a great time when you're here, and it's going to be a really strong culture and environment for you. But then hopefully this provides you the jump start to a career for the rest of your life. And yeah. And we love those stories. I mean, we've got a guy who started as an intern for us. He's one of the heads of digital for Vail. That's awesome.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean,
What are you currently looking for, and how can people find out about employment opportunities?
We are always looking for really talented people. We are currently, let's see, we've got
we're looking for a
project manager.
Manager for website development, content specialists with some copywriting experience as well. And we'll be soon to be looking for a little bit more technical positions, such as on the search engine optimization and marketing side
right.
as well.
Yeah.
You know, before the internet really took off, again, as a business traveler, I loaded up on Marriott just because, you know, I knew in the different cities, I knew where the Marriotts were, and, mm-hmm. you know, you get to learn that over time. And they did have a program where I could get some points. But I didn't work through a travel agency, so it was just easy to do that, to call the 800 number and to find a place. So I'm curious about today. I mean, it seems like the loyalty programs that the airlines and the chains are offering has been watered down a little bit. Are they still popular? Do people make decisions based on those programs still, or are they just out there looking?
It depends on the type of traveler you are. As a business traveler, yes, it's very popular. It's very important. In the independent side of the industry, independent hotel side of the industry, recognize that. And about 7 years ago now, a company was started called Stash Hotel Rewards, where it's taking some of the best independent hotels, about 500 in the United States, typically 4- and 5-star rated hotels, and they're able to join this rewards program of other independent hotels, so you can stay at one independent hotel, earn points, and then redeem them at a different independent hotel. So that's helping level the playing field as well.
Sort of a page from the airlines.
It is, absolutely.
Yeah.
I have just a quick question before we let you go, and that is, over the last couple of days I've seen, and it's a coincidence, but I saw direct mail marketing is not dead. This morning I saw somewhere, email marketing is not dead. And then on your site, I saw SEO is not dead, search engine optimization. And since you just brought it up, we know, because we've spoken with Huckabye here on Main Street quite a few times, that's what they do. It has evolved technologically. It's very complex. So it's not gimmicky search engine optimization. What would you say about that? Why do you say it's not dead? Because as soon as you say it's not dead, it makes me think it's dead.
Well, the internet and digital marketing itself is extremely dynamic. It is changing. I always say that what we know today is going to be obsolete in 6 months, and that's true, and it's not true. It is changing so quickly, and all these new Fandango ways or channels or ways of marketing yourself online are popping up constantly. Lots of disruption in the industry. And you can't forget that what did work can still work. It might have changed a little bit in terms of how you go about the technical search engine optimization, but search engine optimization is not dead.
Chris Jackson, president, and Scott Van Hartsveld, partner for G-Commerce Digital Marketing Company, serving the hospitality market. They're headquartered here in Park City. They serve customers all over the country and internationally, too, I believe. Yeah. Thank you so much for joining us this morning on Cool Science Radio.
It's been an absolute pleasure.
Thank you.
Thanks for tuning in to Cool Science Radio. If you missed part of the show or you want to share it, all our shows are posted within the hour on kpcw.org under the Shows tab.
We also podcast all of KPCW's Public Affair Hour shows wherever you find your podcasts, so you can find them under KPCW and the individual show name.
So look for KPCW Cool Science Radio and take us with you on your next road trip or commute.